just between you and me, okay?
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, well, I hear you, but if it's that intense, I'll need a solid buzz to think clear.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston.
Get ready for a Lone Star Showdown at Energy Stadium as the Rice Owls take on the Texas Longhorns this Saturday, presented by Smart Financial. Don't miss out on a primetime college football game between two old Southwest Conference rivals battling it out on Houston's biggest stage. Tickets are now on sale starting at $35. Call 713-348-OWLS or visit riceowls.com/NRG to get your tickets today. Now back to John and Lance.
So, I like your enthusiasm there, Del.
The back, at least as Joe Tessitore would tell you, the Longhorns are in town. They're back, and they're playing Rice.
Well, they're back in town.
That's what I said.
Yeah, Texas is back, folks.
They're back in Houston.
Wait a minute. Didn't you send out, there was something, somebody sent something ugly.
Yeah,
out.
Scout sent me a hateful meme. They put Sir Mix-a-Lot, and Texas not back. Instead of baby got back, it's a Texas
not back.
And it had Sir Mix-a-Lot. This is an NFL scout who is a hater.
Has this scout talked to this man?
Texas is back, folks.
Because then he would know that they're back.
Did you show your wife that?
No. And I said, this is heartbreak. I shared it with you guys, and I said, this is a heartbreaking meme, and I don't support it. I made it very clear where I stood on this, and I shared it.
And what did your wife think of it?
Texas always loses early in the season. And then what do? They win all the sugar in the state. Every bit of sugar they won from the state of Louisiana.
Not this year. That's where the championship is.
Well, I guess they may get the sugar taken this year too.
Not this year.
Because they lost to LSU. They're still in striking position. On a serious note, Texas can't win at the highest level without better pass rush. They got two big guys as your edge rushers in Roach and I can't remember the 49's name for a second. Anyway, 32 and 49. Those are your rushers, and then you blitz. And then you dial up some kind of exotic blitz package where you don't know what's coming from. You know what that's going to get you? I think they're going to win plenty of games. I still think they're going to be a good team. But you have to be able to heat up quarterbacks, and that is really severely missing from the Longhorns right now. But I would say the same thing for
LSU, too.
I would say LSU, but at least you have Chasen off the edge. Like, you have an athlete.
Yeah, but
and you have really fast linebackers, too.
Well, I tell you what, I really do think, as much as we've joked about it, I do think they're hurting. LSU is hurting. And I don't think Chasen was at full strength. And they did lose a couple of big guys during the game as well. No, they're not. Listen, they're not very good without dialing up some blitzes either.
I went and watched it. I got the coach's tape because we get it for the Joe Moore Awards because we're watching. Because Texas offensive line did a nice job in that game. But I watched those goal line stands. I wanted to see what happened to two goal lines beside the guy dropping the touchdown. And really, it was a matter of LSU. They tried to run on the fourth down. They tried to run wide with Sam Ehlinger with two basically edge defenders from LSU who are too fast to get them hooked. Like, they couldn't get them hooked, so they easily set the edge. And then number six, Phillips, is he six or eight? Whoever number six is was flying down like a freight train because he was very instinctive, recognized the play, and shot downhill and took the cutback lane away from Ehlinger. And it was just watching the entire thing unfold. Every time LSU's defensive linemen got underneath Texas, they submarined them and stacked them up. And then if Texas tried to go wide, they just had too much speed. They just had too much speed.
See, and that stuff works against Baylor, Oklahoma State, Kansas. It ain't working against LSU's athletes. It just ain't. You can't run Ehlinger wide.
No, but you got to win with play calling. You got to keep them off balance.
But this is what they do. This is what Texas does, and they've been successful with Ehlinger. But when you're facing LSU, it ain't happening.
But you know, I thought they should have tried to come downhill with Sam, like over a tackle. There's a big difference between going sideways and coming downhill with a lead blocker. Like, you weren't going to win from guard to guard inside against LSU's bigs because, like I said, they were just too big and they could get underneath Texas. But the way you win that, and this is the same issue the Texans have had on short yardage, is you have to play call it. to where you do something they don't expect. That's why that Ingram call was such a great call by Tom Herman. Early on, he throws a play action pass to a wide open, and they have the wide receiver at the top of the route. The X really drew the attention of the corner and pulled him in.
And yeah.
And then it was basically
and you can pick and you can do all I mean
it was a great play call, and he dropped it, and from there they tried to go traditional, and it didn't work out. Like this is why I think the Colts have a real chance of winning the division. They basically told the Chargers, we're going to literally punch you in the face for the rest of this game in the fourth quarter, and we're going to stay in this game just by running it right down your throats. And there was nothing that the Chargers couldn't do anything about it. Like, the Colts are the rare team that can literally impose their will on the ground. They did it to the Texans last year, and we saw them do it again last week. And so now the Texans have to deal with that kind of physical bully ball with them. The Tennessee Titans, should we slow down on the Titans whacking Cleveland, or should we wake up a little bit to the fact that the Titans were a playoff team and maybe we're a little disrespectful of the Titans?
Well, they were a playoff team two years ago.
Oh, it wasn't last year.
And then they won 9 games last year.
Yeah.
So they've had they're not bad.
Well, nine wins usually wins a division.
And I think we're sleeping on Vrabel too. While he wasn't a good coordinator, he is a good CEO. And I think he's got those guys. And this division, honestly,
it's
could be upside down.
I think
now,
it's wide open.
I am optimistic, and I really liked what I saw out of the Texans offensively. I like the way that they stood there. I like the way that they play. I like how physical they got. I like how I ran the ball. I like how Deshaun took over. I'm high on after watching that Texans loss. But I'll tell you what, there could be 3 teams out of this division, because I don't think the AFC North isn't all that deep. The obviously the AFC East is just the Patriots. With Pittsburgh being down, and Pittsburgh ain't making the playoffs again this year. They're just not. They're not any good. You've got Kansas City in the West, but I could certainly see a scenario where the Chargers don't make the playoffs. And the Raiders are the Raiders, and Denver's Denver. This could be a 3 playoff team division.
It would be. I mean,
you have to beat up on the
Jaguars.
Like, somebody's got to be the punching bag that loses a ton of games. It could be the Jags.
And it could be the Jags.
It could be the Jags, because they're going to fall apart. I mean, they're already starting to lose their mind in game 1, and now they got a mustache quarterback trying to roll in.
Gardner Minshew. I would be surprised.
Really? Aaron Rodgers says, oh, really?
Aaron Rodgers already shaved his.
Didn't
he shave it?
I don't know. I don't really look at his face. It would be weird only because do I see a top 10 offense in this division? It's not always the marker that says you make the playoffs, but the Texans are the most likely because they have the more dynamic quarterback. But do you see a top 10 offense with the Titans and the Colts?
No, but I do see defenses that can. I mean, I really,
the balance.
I think Baker Mayfield, he made way too many commercials this offseason, but Tennessee made him look really, really bad. They made him look.
Well, their offensive line took some hits, and old ass Cam Wake was putting pressure on them.
They got weapons, though, dude. And you know what? Those guys were running. Logan Ryan was running with them.
Well, I know the Browns have weapons, but if you can't protect.
And Malcolm Butler and Logan Ryan and Byard.
But we talked about it. So at some point, the pressure is going to affect you. And Baker got touched more in that game than you might have seen all in the back half of that year. And the pressure screwed with him.
So when they come here, the offensive line, the Texans' offensive line is going to take care of that business.
Well, Deshaun apparently it doesn't matter. He's going to put up points at least at home against the Titans. He finds a way. So I would say that yes, he's done it the last 2 times he's faced them at home. They put up points at home.
Are you guys not at all scared about now? Campbell's a little bit banged up, and Gwakwe's a little bit banged up. But I'm telling you, I'm a little worried for Deshaun's life again this week.
No, it's a concern. You know, so my dad joined us yesterday. We talked about him. He calls and
got Nick Martin in now.
Yeah,
so
you're
good.
You're one of the top centers in the league. But so I was talking to my dad. He said, how'd it go? I said, it went well. We're, you know, blah, blah, blah. About his appearance with the show. Mm-hmm. So I said, it went well. It was really good stuff. You know, you brought up a lot of stuff we didn't know. And he said, you know, I didn't want to put everything on I want to make sure people know that I'm not picking on Deshaun. It's just a fact of life that he's got to – he's going to be responsible for keeping himself protected, meaning he's got to recognize certain things. He saw something that Deshaun misread that ended up getting him hit by a free safety because he didn't recognize the protection and where his pressure was going to come from and hit him. Because this is the kind of stuff that he's going to have to get better at doing that, or because he said, I just don't think the guy can hold up getting hit as much as he's getting hit and as hard as he gets hit. Because he takes some good shots, he said, but he's a special, special player. You've got to make sure. And he said at some point, you know, the Texans are going to have to make sure they do everything in their power to get him protected, not just trading for a player, but schematically and really hammering it home to Deshaun, like, this has to be done this way because this can't go on. You're right. Deshaun is going to miss time. He's going to be like Steve McNair. And I don't know if any of you guys remember when Steve McNair was constantly in walking boots every week. Remember, Steve McNair was tough as could be. But Steve McNair was, he couldn't practice.
He was in a walking boot
because he was constantly in walking boots, flat jackets on top of flat jackets. Like, McNair got beat to hell. And I don't want to see that happen with my quarterback.
Oh, yeah, guess what? It's our 62 sacks. He's got to take a bus to Jacksonville last year because he can't breathe on a plane. Really? You don't want to see that happen.
That's right.
What I want to see happen is you getting your filthy, gross carpets cleaned. I'm so sick of grossness. You know, when somebody walks in your house, they go, wow, this is a great house. Except look at how filth and flarn you are. Here's the deal. It's very easy to clean them. Not only that, but your tile. Your upholstery, yeah, go ahead and try to reupholster that furniture and see how much that, or buy new furniture. You don't have to, because Oops can get those stains out. Beer, wine, pee, coffee. Yeah, pee. That's right. Okay? You got pee on your stuff. If you got pee on your carpets or your furniture, you're gross. So what you need to do is get to oopssteam.com. Oopssteam.com. They're the best. They're awesome. They will come with a trained professional. They will tell you how much it costs before they get there, and they're not going to try to upsell you. You're going to work it all out, probably with Rosie over the phone, and you're going to have someone come, a trained and background screen professional, come to your home and get the job done. They can clean everything, and it literally takes less than an hour for you to get this job done. 281-822-0561 or oopssteam.com. Oopssteam.com. Tell me you heard it. Talk to Gilbert off air. He wants to talk to you. Well, not now. Not now. I know she got slaughtered by Gilbert. Let's get Longhorn Keith in here. What's up, Longhorn Keith?
Everything's good, fellas. Y'all doing okay?
Yeah, how are you?
Awesome, man. Hey, listen, you know, Lance raised a good point, and it kind of, I've been asking this question for years now, and that is, the pass rush of Texas, defensive ends, they recruit well, and then when they get on campus, and I've seen this throughout college football, so it's not exclusive to Texas, but it seems like at other locations, they don't put as much weight on kids that are coming in terms of body weight and try to build them up, and they allow them to still maintain their natural quickness. And again, I'm not, I don't do, obviously, the physical conditioning, and I'm not the coach or anything like that, but it's just, I always wonder, is that obviously impacting what that kid was coming out of? Granted, he was coming out of high school, going up against lesser competition, but it just seems as though kids are not as quick, not as fast, and we haven't had an elite defensive pass rusher off the edge since probably Rack or Brian Robinson back in the championship days. And
13
and it's crazy
years,
because
you're
probably
right.
They recruit well. Yeah, they recruit well, but it just always seems that they end up in a 3-4 system and they push them over the nose, or I don't know, man. It's really weird to me, but I agree 100% that until we get an elite pass rusher that's not coming off of a blitz or off of the 3-4 package that they're running, because that guy has to win 1-on-1 matchups to me, and I don't see them doing that right
so
now.
So you know,
Minnehue was good.
Yeah, he was fine. It's just you need better. You need a better rusher. You need an elite rusher.
Yeah.
See, when you go recruit guys who are 250 pounds as pass rushers, they turn it all of a sudden and they grow into their bodies. All of a sudden they're 265, 270, and you're like, man, we can put weight on him and play him in five technique. And now they're not edge rushers. The way that you get edge rushers is going and find a 220-pound guy.
Yeah.
And when they grow into 240, you got guys who burn the edge. Because I got news for you. If you want to win in college football, 230-pound guys and 240-pound guys, they may not be NFL pass rushers all the time, but a lot of times they can gain that weight. Brian Burns at Florida State played in the 220s. He played in the 220s. Get elite speed and get off.
Yeah, but he didn't eat right?
He was super dehydrated.
Or drink water.
Yeah.
He was super dehydrated. But my point is that you can go find guys who are in the 230s. I mean, finding linebackers and turning them into edge rushers.
That's been going on forever. Jimmy Johnson used to do that.
He would push everyone down.
And push everybody. Everybody moves up a spot.
Defensive ends turn into three techniques. Yes. That's a Rod Marinelli.
Yes.
Henry Melton, for example.
He was a fullback.
Well, Texas finally.
And he turned into a defensive tackle for the Bears.
He was a running back.
Yeah.
At Texas. And Will Muschamp, he had a weed test. He got in the doghouse with Mac, and Will Muschamp said, "Can I have him on my side? I want to see if I can make him a pass rusher." And that's what he did. He made him a good pass rusher. And then when he got into the pros, they said, "Hey," the Bears basically said, "Hey, let's make him a defensive tackle because it's the push down methodology of let's take speed and move it inside, and let's take speed at linebacker and take it to edge. Let's take safeties and turn them into linebackers. It's the push down method."
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what works in college.
Absolutely. You're right, though. I was shocked. The last first rounder drafted out of Texas on the offensive side of the ball.
Was who?
Guess.
It's not Mike Williams.
No.
No, it's before. Vince.
Vince.
Yeah, Vince.
Vince.
Dude, 13 years.
Are you kidding me?
That's unbelievable. The last edge rusher. You talk
about last first round offensive lineman
was Mike Williams. The one before that was Leonard Davis. It's been the Mac, by the way, Leonard Davis was not recruited by Mac Brown. Ricky Williams not recruited by Mac Brown. You look at Texas from a recruiting standpoint, Mac got a lot of love for a lot of different stuff. Casey Hampton wasn't his. Sean Rogers wasn't his. Right? These are first, and then of course with Sean, he was a second round pick. But Mac did really a poor job of extending. He had a lot of success in 2006, but when you look at the draft picks, when you look at how they were stocking it, the cupboard was way too bare, especially on the offensive line for a school like I don't think a Texas or a Texas A&M, for example, the two headliner colleges in the States, no offense to TCU, who's been much more consistent over the years in both programs, but those two teams should never be offensive line poor in a state like Texas. It makes no sense to me. It makes no sense. You got a bunch of corn-fed guys here who you should be able to turn into good college players with NFL talent, and it's not happening.
Well, they don't have
– Now, for Texas A&M, it's happened.
Yeah.
Texas A&M had a great run.
Texas doesn't have the reputation of developing. Now, John, you talk about it all the time because you were close with the family. If you're Walker Little, you go to Stanford because all it provides. But also Stanford develops. They have a reputation of developing offensive linemen. Yeah. Texas, until they get that, guys don't go to Texas to be offensive linemen or get developed.
What happens?
They got a good line coach there now in Herb Hand. And they are. And I will say this. Their offensive line is going to be a factor this year. They play hard. I think there's more talent on the second string unit based on what I saw. But the first team plays really, really hard. But I think – other than Shackelford, who is a try-hard center, and Cosme, who has some NFL ability, they're just going to be, you know, guys. But as long as you get them playing together, their technique is good, you can develop them into – like Herb Hand looks like he's finally going to get more out of the line than maybe their talent would dictate. So I think they're going to have a good offensive line.
What happens with Walker Little now? Speaking of Walker Little, out for the season.
He has to go back to school.
You think? I don't know.
I would.
I think he's still going to be a top 10 guy.
Might be. I mean, it's all going to be based on last year's tape. So he's going to have to go off of 2000. And Walker Little is a Stanford tackle. But he came from Rice.
Episcopal High School.
Right? He was at Rice for a year?
No.
Oh, he was never at Rice.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's a good tackle. He had a lot of love.
Rice wishes they had Walker Little.
He played one game?
Huh?
He played one game?
This year? Yeah.
Yeah, one game, and he was...
Oh, I don't know. Did he even play this year?
Yeah, he got hurt in the game.
He did?
Yeah, he got hurt in the game. And he's out for the year.
He was...
Trey Adams from Washington had the same scenario. Dell, you might remember that. Trey Adams had a lot of hype and love on him, and then He got hurt. He went back to school and got hurt again.
Yeah, I don't think he has anything left to prove there. He was all conference. He was all conference as a freshman. I don't think Walker Little has anything left to prove.
Has he graduated? Will that keep him there?
He may. I don't know. Dude's smart.
I think he's a true junior.
He's a true junior.
He hasn't graduated. No, there's no chance.
Oh, well, but maybe by the spring he will. Maybe. Because they got to do all the summer classes. So.
Well, you want him to be a graduate transfer? Who cares if he graduates?
No, I mean, that might keep him in school because the parents might emphasize graduating before you leave.
He might because he's going to be a first-round tackle, whether he comes out this year or comes out next year. He might want to get that Stanford thing taken care of. You never know.
Maybe.
Episcopal kid. I mean, maybe so. I don't know. He's a good player. I think Texas should look at him in the first round next year.
We can find out, actually.
I'm the Texans, I look at him in the first round next year and put him at right tackle.
What?
That's who I look at if I'm the Texans in the first round next year.
They don't have one. They spent their first rounder.
Yeah. The year after. What if he stays a year, and then the year after you can get him in the first?
Yeah, 100%.
You can get him in the first or the second.
Guys, excuse me.
Yeah.
They also spent their first rounder for their current left tackle.
Whoa.
They spent two on him.
They actually have spent three. They spent three first rounders on tackles within since April. April, May, June, July, August.
Three.
So within four
straight
months,
years, they've used.
So you guys, within 4 months, they spent three first rounders.
They still don't have two.
So I don't want to hear about lack of investment, okay?
Three first rounders on tackles. And they still don't have two of them.
And the one who did play, played well, but
he was fine.
He's fine.
People are in a big hurry to get mad at Laramie Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil's fine. That's who he is. He's a fine player. I don't know if he's a great player yet.
He's trending towards great.
That's what I was told.
Do you know what Mr. Ass said, who's from our fantasy league? He said he gave us this little
heads up.
That's an
ugly name for the kids in school.
Well, what's the name of your fantasy team, Lance?
Granado's Nipples.
Well, there you go.
John's is Tiny Muffins, because I named him when John Tyler came.
No, JT never has been there. Don't ever say that. He's got eligibility left.
No, when he was just coming to hang around, I was the one to name him.
Right.
So anyway, he said Texans gave Zach Martin pouncy money, or gave Nick Martin pouncy money. Pro Football Focus has Nick Martin ranked as the fifth best center in the AFC South. Fifth.
What?
In a division of four teams.
Who's the backup that's better than him?
That's a lie.
I don't think he's joking.
Well, who would be there? Who would be the fourth?
So who came in? Probably Ryan Kelly would be ahead of him.
Yeah.
Did they have a second? Let me see. The Jacksonville Jaguars have Linder. Is there, right? No.
Is he a guard or a center?
Their center is Linder.
Okay. And then Jacksonville, the Colts. What team are we missing? Jacksonville?
Tennessee.
Oh, Ben Jones.
Ben Jones, yeah.
Wait, and they got rid of Ben Jones.
Well, yeah.
And what? And he's been.
And the Titans just added. Is Martin better than Jonas Grassu, who the Titans just added?
Mm-hmm. He's bigger.
And they gave him pouncy money.
That's the part I don't like, just pouncy money. Stuff.
I don't want to talk about you guys.
Can we get back to the Astros bullpen?
Screw Mr. That's Ass. Bad.
Oh, hey.
Wait.
Phrasing.
Let's talk about Men's C Clinic.
Well, if you want to.
Men's C Clinic is the company.
That's not something they promote.
Better have some testosterone.
Well, let me tell you this right now. Men's C Clinic is out there saying, we're going to get you tested. We're going to find out where your testosterone numbers are. If you are above the level, we're not going to treat you because it's a safety issue. If you are below, then we will absolutely treat you. And in fact, we will work with your insurance company to try to get your treatments all paid for. And certainly a portion are 100% going to be paid for because, you know, the thing with Men's D Clinic is they deal with a quality of life issue, but it's much more than quality of life when you really get into it. There's metabolism issues that can be caused by low testosterone, a lack of mental focus. You can deal with the drop in libido, a drop in your lean muscle mass where it turns into belly fat. I mean, these are all telltale signs. And, of course, an energy level that really robs you of the energy that you need to get through your day productively, whether it's your workouts or you're at the workplace or even on the weekends when you're just trying to live your good life, you just can't do it because you don't have that energy. Men's T Clinic can help you fix that. Why don't you head into one of the five locations around the Houston area? Convenient locations are waiting for you to find out more about Men's T Clinic, the top company here in the city of Houston when it comes to taking care of testosterone needs. It's Men's T Clinic.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Presented by Cheers and Prime Social. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
U.S. loses to Serbia in basketball. Does anybody care? I mean, does anybody? This is like... But here's the deal is these are NBA players.
Yeah, that's the issue.
These are real NBA
they're
players.
They're starters for NBA teams, and they're losing to the likes of Serbia.
Team better than individuals. And it also tells you that, I mean, you probably don't have great chemistry on that team. And the other thing is, something we've known for years is that the rest of the world has been catching up, not just, you know, in Argentina, not just – and Serbia is going to have a team, but – I mean, there's more and more people around. The basketball is a global sport. More and more teams are getting better coaches because people are coming from, you know, good from coaching hotbeds to go coach, and then you have players who are playing from a young age now. Basketball is a sport that people are picking up at a young age, and that used to not be the case, but that's definitely the case now. So I don't think we should be that surprised that international teams are way more competitive, and it's more than just one or two. It's several teams now. Apparently, France is in there, too.
Yeah, if we send our best, though, we go kick their ass.
We can't send our best. Our best don't want
to
go.
Well, not to this, but they're going to the Olympics. They'll go to the Olympics.
To smash.
Well, to smash basketball people.
To smash in the village.
Well, yeah.
Although they don't stay in the village, but everyone says,
like, NBA player doesn't have to go to the Olympics to find... You know what I'm saying?
I'm going to make a comment that's going to be unpopular.
Here we go.
You don't have to.
But you would like to.
But you're talking about... This is...
Not, international. This is, are you saying...
This is... Yeah.
Are you saying...
This is... This
I mean,
is,
if... Look, if you're...
I shouldn't say any of this on the air.
Let me say it
you
for
say
you.
It, Del.
Let me say it for you. I ain't a pussy.
Del knows.
I ain't soft like you, as we were called earlier. If... Let's say you're a single... I don't know who's single in the NBA right now, but let's say you're single and you're... And you're on the team. And maybe you're not going to play a lot. Or maybe you are. And there's a Swedish cross-country track star.
You kidding me?
You don't want to have
you
some...
You kidding me,
you kidding? Someone from a blonde from Estonia you don't want
to
try?
This isn't somebody trying to get on Basketball Wives.
Dude.
She's never... This is a... Look at... This is a pole vaulter.
Yeah, an Allison Stokey type.
This
but she's from Estonia.
Stokey from Estonia.
You
from
mean... France. That's
NBA
not appealing.
Player has...
Yeah, but it's different.
Kylie Jenner's throwing herself at them every day.
Yeah, but there's a...
They don't need to go to the Olympics to smash.
Yeah, but let me explain it to them. Yeah. What you don't understand is, there's a Kylie... I don't know if she's throwing herself. You mean Kendall. Kylie's with Travis Scott. But what you're saying... But there's all this... The selfie, there's all this...
There's all this
stuff surrounding them that doesn't surround the girl from Estonia.
Yes.
She's just going to go back to Estonia.
Yes. It's just about... Yeah. It's just about... Village love.
Village.
Love in the village.
You don't have to deal with...
You don't have to deal with how many selfies she's taking of herself, and she's trying to get on this, and this, and trying to... No. Well,
listen.
No.
That selfie thing is real.
Well, that
is real.
But the articles about how the... And these are from Olympic athletes who have said, oh, man, it is... If you have an early event...
Well, they give them 10,000 condoms.
I know. And if you have an early event, they just said it's like... It's insane in the village. If you finish early in the Olympics,
yeah, you just get
it's
to hang
like
out.
Man.
Just look up RG3's.
Tiger Woods is jealous.
She's not
of this.
She's the new wife because he left the wife. He
what
was
am I
with.
Looking up? Tell me what to look up.
Just look up RG3's new wife because he was with the wife when he got drafted, but now he's with the new track star from Estonia who went to Florida State. Look her up. Those are the type of women you're running into at the Olympics. I think her name is Greet or Greta. I don't know how to pronounce that name. Just type in RG3's wife, and you'll see you'll see a track girl from Estonia.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer.
That's what you're...
I'm not trying to be a Kylie Jenner when you can get Greta Sadiko.
Yeah. Now, he married her, which we can... That might be a mistake.
Well,
who knows?
That's all of a sudden it changes
that's
your
that's
whole...
That's on him.
Yeah, but if you're meeting a girl like that, in the Olympic Village, and she, what do you do? Oh, you play in the NBA. Oh, and that's like 2 weeks of whatever, and you don't have to deal with it anymore. Yeah, you go to the Olympics for that, and then you play some basketball.
They just had their second kid.
Yeah, he's locked in.
Man, Yeah, RG3 definitely upgraded. There's no question about
that's,
that.
That's one man's misogynist. One. Yeah. But, but yeah. I'm just pointing out these are the besides all the other misogynist thoughts we're doing right now. I'm just saying this is what you walk into at the Olympics. That's why you go, and then you might win a gold medal too.
Listen, he definitely upgraded.
Once again, that's John Granato.
He's such a bad person yeah. in general. But he really. But is. Here's the deal. This really shows the RG3 thing. He was right. The biggest bust, this, that, and the other. And here he is. This is really true about quarterbacks. You will get Vince Young got a million chances. Johnny's a different situation.
Johnny got how many chances?
He's getting situations outside of the NFL. Yeah. He's got a ton of chances. Quarterbacks and pitchers get a lot of chances. But RG3, I really have a lot of respect for him because he went from being a star player. See, Carmelo couldn't deal with this transition, and that's why he's trying to get people to write articles about how he can still play and blah, blah, blah. Had he been able to just Joe Johnson this thing into a nice, quiet, I'm gonna turn into this kind of a player. He could still be with the fellas, still be making money, still be an effective, well, still be a player in the league potentially. But RG3 figured out, okay, I'm not a starter anymore. This is not who I'm going to be. But he's behind Lamar Jackson. He gets to be a veteran. He's making an NFL salary. He's living an NFL life. This is a good deal for RG3, and it's because he was humble enough to say, this is who I am right now. And you don't see him, I don't hear him crying and trying to get to other teams because he's actually a starter. RG3 has figured it out and said, okay, this is my life. This is a damn good life. Look at Dan Orlovsky. How long do you think Dan Orlovsky played in the NFL? I was shocked when I saw his ESPN. 12 years.
12 years.
How the did Dan Orlovsky stick around for 12 years? Honestly, he played in the league for 12 years.
He ran out of the end zone.
Who will play longer?
I love that.
Who will play longer in pro football, Dan Orlovsky or J.J. Watt?
Matt Cassel or Dan Orlovsky? Matt Cassel.
He's not still playing anywhere, right?
Yeah. Isn't he? Isn't he still on the team? I think he is.
No way. He might be. Yeah, he might be.
Dude, you know how many passes?
He is not on a team right now.
He's not? No. You know how many passes he threw in college? And that dude had a 14-year career? How long was Matt Cassel in the league?
Dude, he was in the league 14 years.
14 years. You know what his college stats were? You know, guess how many passes Matt Cassel threw in college total?
He didn't throw many. He was a backup.
How many?
33. Yeah.
33 passes, and he had a 14-year NFL career.
Yeah, but you don't get paid there in the NFL. Well, some.
So, speaking of him, he was behind Carson Palmer, right?
I think he
sat behind Carson Palmer.
He was behind Carson Palmer.
Dell, your thoughts on Carson Palmer telling Dak to take less money?
FOH, Carson Palmer. Get out of here. Carson Palmer, like I said yesterday, we barely touched on
it. We did it late.
Carson Palmer was drafted in the era of non-slotting, and he made $30 million his first 3 years in the league. Dak didn't make $2 million his first 3 years in the league.
Fourth rounder doesn't make it.
Stop talking about another man's money when you got paid really early in your career. You know what? This is Dak's first contract. You take all the money you can get. On the second deal, sure, you start making concessions.
On the third deal.
On his second big deal.
You start making concessions
for your team.
Dell's right.
But you don't give up the money when you're a fourth-round pick.
You could if you wanted to, because his point is you could take 10 to 15 million.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Did Carson Palmer ever go, you know what? I'm going to take less for the Bengals or the Cardinals to help us get better players.
I think he may have for the Cardinals, probably not the Bengals.
Did he do it his first time around?
For the Bengals.
Yeah, he didn't have to.
You mentioned there was not a cap.
Stop it.
There was no cap. And that's a very fair point because Dak wasn't even a first round. Now, he makes good money, I'm sure, with the endorsements. But I get where Carson's coming from. And, yes, it would be very, very beneficial, not just to the Cowboys, but to every team that has star players they have to sign at once. If the quarterback said, all right, I'm getting this endorsement money, I get the point he's making, but Dell makes a really good point. This is a guy who was on a fourth-round contract. Third-rounder or fourth-rounder?
Fourth-rounder.
He was on a fourth-round contract. This is his first time. You can restructure later in this deal to help the team.
Even
cap-wise.
On this deal, yeah, you can restructure later.
Yeah, you can restructure later on this deal or do something team but I mean,
get your
Dak is, to me, it's just a matter of Dak needs to be taken care of at a much higher level. I get what Carson's saying, and that's fine. I just think it is easier to say that coming from...
This dude didn't even just say take a pay cut. He goes, yeah, you just take 10 to 15. 10 to 15?
What are you so mad about, Dell?
Because Carson Palmer's talking out of his ass. When Carson Palmer's 26 years old and they came up to him and go, hey, Carson, we're probably going to pay you 40% less than we can. Is he doing that?
Hells no.
Get out of here, Carson Palmer.
FOH.
FOH, man.
I'm going to say
842.
Carson Palmer only earned $174 million.
No.
Wasn't taking a lot of pay cuts. No. Did he do that? Not a lot. He wasn't taking a lot of pay cuts.
Years. No flipping way.
The last contract he signed was 3 years.
And he's telling Dak to take less money?
He's talking from a position of being Scrooge McDuck, swimming in money,
and he's telling the guy to take less.
You'll
love this. The last contract that Palmer signed was 3 year, $49 million extension with the Cardinals in 2014.
Oh, wow.
That's $16 million a year. But in 14, from a quarterback salary standpoint, you know, Kirk Cousins is the one who changed the game. 16 was a lot of money.
I wonder where that was slotted in the league.
I'll find out.
2014 quarterback salaries.
If I'm Dak, Carson Palmer catching these hands. Stop talking about my money, man.
Well, here's the deal. You don't have to have a lot of money. You really don't have to have a lot of money to have hair. Okay? And listen, Dr. Kane Linville, he's awesome. He is awesome. You can go right now and have zero money to talk to him about this. And normally, consultations for the Neo Graft is like $150. For the ESPN 97.5 listener, it's absolutely free. So if you go to the website, 975hair.com, 975hair.com, you'll see how this goes about. It's not a hair plug. They're not cutting the back of your head. The process is pretty damn simple. I did it. It took about 4 hours and it's growing in, and I went to see the doc, revisited him. He said, man, it looks great. It's going to be great. And about Christmas time or so, I'm going to get rid of that 9-iron divot that I got out of the back of my head, and it's going to fill in. It's like I sanded it up and I put that divot back in the grass, and it's all good. For those of you who don't know golf, I don't know. I can't help you. But here's the deal. Go to 975hair.com and see for yourself. You don't have to live with that baldness anymore. You just got to go to the website and go talk to the doc at 975hair.com. All right, 846 ESPN 97.5.
Hey, to take care of some, the Carson Palmer. To be fair to Palmer, his contract was $16.5 million a year, which made him 11th highest paid quarterback behind, in order, Alex Smith, Matthew Stafford, Tony Romo, Jay Cutler. I'm working my way up. Colin Kaepernick, who made $19 million. Peyton, $19.2 million. Drew Brees, $20 million. Flacco, $20 million. Matt Ryan, $20.75 million. Aaron Rodgers, $22 million. Even by 2015, there were four $20 million quarterbacks.
He was basically middle of the pack. But he was still making $15-16 million a year. He wants Dak to take 10 to 15? Shut up. That's top.
What if you said
another? Here's clean this up too. Apparently, Pro Football Focus had Greg Mantz ahead of Martin.
Oh, that's not nice.
Well,
that's hateful.
Greg Mantz actually played pretty well when Martin was hurt.
Greg's a nice little backup. We would call him a good backup who has the ability to step in and start. He's a good backup. Got value.
Yeah.
And if Nick Martin went down, I think you'd be okay. This tells you about Nick Martin's value to me. If he fell off, if he got hurt, I think Greg Mantz would step in, and I wouldn't be super worried about it. I think Zach Fulton could step in, and I wouldn't be worried about it at all. So that kind of tells you that he's replacement level.
No,
if I said that about Will Fuller, I'm worried.
Top paid center. You don't just plug anyone
Second best player. Second top center.
Where's he on the Texans? He's going to be... You know what that contract is going to
be? No, it's not. It's not unreasonable. Who's the highest paid quarterback in pro football right now? Dell.
Oh, this contract, he's going to be third highest paid player on the team. Nick Martin.
On average per year?
It goes J.J. DeAndre.
Average per year?
Average per year.
Seems about right.
No, it doesn't seem right.
No, when I look at Nick Martin, third best player on it. on a good team.
Yeah, we'll see how the Tunsil's going to change.
It'll change
that.
It, but currently, third best player. I see that.
He's not better than. Okay, well, whatever.
Who do you think Football Focus doesn't think he's better than Greg Mantz.
That's right.
Who do you think is the top paid quarterback in the NFL?
Top paid quarterback in. Not Kirk Cousins?
It's currently Matt Stafford at $29.5 million. Is anyone going to grift more money than Matt Stafford? Matt Stafford was on that rookie deal, was on the uncapped rookie deal. Matt Stafford has made $1 billion in his career. Has he gone to the playoffs more than once? You want to talk about a guy who just fills up a stat sheet and it's like, what has he actually done?
Yeah, but you can't blame him for that, really. It's
I'm
the
not
Lions.
Blaming him.
It's the Lions.
He's made $157 million.
It's good to be Matt Stafford.
Or he will.
Is his wife better? I mean, she was sick this offseason. Has anybody heard?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. This is just the current contract he's set to make $157 million. I think the wife is doing
She's
much better.
Yeah. Good.
It's just, golly. You know where Dak, if he got $15 million, you know where he would rank? Well, he would rank ahead of, Matt Ryan must be on that same deal because he would, actually, if he got $16 million a year, he would go ahead of Matt Ryan. He'd be behind Andy Dalton. Big deal. Andy Dalton's a great quarterback. Jimmy Garoppolo's a great quarterback at $19 million. Now you've got, remember when I told you there's four $20 million quarterbacks? Mm-hmm. Alex Smith is going to make $20.4 million this year. And his leg got ripped off. Marcus Mariota is going to make $20.9 million. Check down Marcus. Jameis is making the same.
Ooh.
Tom Brady, 21.
Pick
Tom Brady.
Six, Jameis.
Now, Tom Brady is the definition of take less. I want the team to succeed. He's done it for a long time. He's the outlier. Because Matt, you know what Matt Stafford does? Nah. Keep him coming. Well, is this many million good? Nope. I'm going to need more if you want me to keep doing what I'm doing.
Right.
Which is, you know, six-ish wins a year.
Yeah, but does anybody come?
I threw for 5,000 one time.
Does anybody come from Laredo like Matt
Stafford? You ever seen me throw 5,000 yards where I'm throwing sidearm?
Yeah.
Can anybody do that? No. Keep them coming. Open a safe and put more in there.
By the way,
but
Lamar.
You got like five wins
Lamar Jackson
that year.
Can do that, by the way. Did you see him slinging it from?
I did.
Coming from Laredo?
It was neat. Yeah. Eli Manning is the sixth highest quarterback. I think it's fair for Dak to be paid less than Eli, don't you, Dell?
Did you watch on Sunday?
Derek Carr makes 22.5. I think Dak making 15 is reasonable.
$10 million. Did you see him win?
$10 million less.
Did you see him?
Yeah, Derek Carr's a winner.
Without Antonio? Yeah.
He's a winner.
You're damn right he is.
I mean, this is so preposterous to take. When you really look at this, listen, I know you've been on a fourth-round contract for a long time, and currently you are making less money currently than.
Forget
you're making less money than Tyrod Taylor, Drew Stanton, Daniel Jones.
But in the scenario where
Chase Daniel.
But in the scenario where Carson Palmer says take 10 to 15, who would he be making less than? Because that's what he's.
Okay, who makes more money, Josh McCown or Dak Prescott?
Well,
right now he's on his fourth. He's on a fourth round.
Okay, Brian Hoyer or Dak Prescott.
Well, we know that. But
Hoyer just got cut.
Well, we know
who's
that.
More?
No, but Hoyer just got signed to a 2-year, $15 million deal.
No, his base contract is actually only $3 million.
But in Carson Palmer's proposal,
his average is actually $3 for the Colts. Yeah.
His average is $3?
No, two at 30 was $15 million a year for Brissett.
That's right.
A.J. McCarron, yeah.
I thought he got 215.
No? A.J. McCarron, yeah, okay, he makes $1 million more than Dak a year, but A.J. McCarron has a hot wife.
No, I get that factor. What? That's obvious because Dak hasn't signed the deal, but under Carson Palmer's dumb proposal, how many quarterbacks would be which quarterbacks are making more? Let's say he gets the top, $15 million in Carson Palmer's
proposal.
Yeah,
I mean, he's still behind Andy Dalton, Jimmy Garoppolo, Alex Smith, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston. I mean, Derek Carr, it's preposterous. He should be ahead of all those guys. Frankly, I think that, you know, I think you have to consider paying him up around Cam Newton money, which is 23.
Hoyer got 3 years, $12 million.
What? Yeah, but from a contract, the way it's set up, his salary cap value for this year is $3 million. It's more backloaded.
Right.
Yeah.
312.
Yeah. So it's three. So what Dak is actually going
to win? Dak should take
a little less.
Right around there. Yeah. Right around there.
If I were Dak, I'd be like, I'm sorry, what did he just say about me coming off my – when I'm just trying to get to my second contract? But the Cowboys do have a dilemma, though, because they have this many guys coming up. They just took care of Zach Martin. They paid Lyle Collins. You've got
well, screw Zeke the Cowboys.
Elliott got money.
What about when the Texans have to pay Deshaun and Laremy Tunsil?
Actually, it's going to be fine. They have money to do it. And they know they have money to do it. That's why they approach free agency.
And what about getting? What about when they have to pay an actual cornerback to come here because they don't have any draft picks?
You can
what
keep
about
doing 1 year rentals? Just do Band-Aids every year for the rest of eternity.
That's what you want to do.
Next year, who's the Bradley Roby? Is Tremont Williams still playing football?
Yeah.
Throw him in there.
He actually is.
Throw him in there.
He had a great game against the Bears.
I wouldn't call it great. He had two big penalties.
Yeah. Well, but how many points? Really? Did you see Mitchell Trubisky complete any passes? No. It was all thanks to Tremont, who, by the way, the Texans cut. Wasn't good enough. Wasn't good enough to be here. But they've been doing never mind. I don't want to talk about the Texans anymore. 855 ESPN 97.
Seriously, can we be done?
No. You know what we're going to talk about? Gritty.
You got good. I'll talk about a company that I really, really like that I think is run effectively, run very, very well and effective leadership, and that's Gritty. Because Gritty, even when they had these historic, they were five times higher than the highest historic price spikes ever in the history of the country. They had that, and they went right out to the consumers and said, look, this is what happened, blah, 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 blah. They laid it out. This is ways you can combat it. And they did a great job of communicating with people who are wholesale energy users like myself, because we took a spike on those 5 days. But since that time, it's been tremendously low. And not only that, every time there is a spike, I get an even a minor spike. I have something sent to my phone, I turn my AC up, and I continue to game the system. That's why I'm going to have an electric bill under $200 this month. And it's really simple. Gritty helps you do that. With wholesale electricity, you get lower rates. You get the same rates that the retailers are charging, are getting, and then they mark it up and pass it on to you. What Gritty says is, hey, for $10 a month membership fee, unlimited access to wholesale energy. No contract, no hidden fees, no markups, just big savings. Switch anytime if you're not happy. To take advantage of this, text Lance to 797979. That's Lance to 797979, and they're going to give you your first month's membership absolutely free, a transparent company with a great product. Text Lance to 797979. Message and data rates may apply. Wholesale electricity with Gritty.